Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 6 of the Kitchen Garden podcast. Thanks to everyone who's subscribed to it. We've come in from the garden for a few minutes. That's the editorial team of Kitchen Garden. I'm Steve Ott, the editor. We've also got Tony Flanagan here.
I am.
A writer. And we've got our deputy editor, Emma Rawley.
Hello.
And we're just going to talk through some of the things that we've been doing this month and also some of the things we've got in the September issue for you. Lots in the September issue. We're going to have a little chat about things like blueberries, apples and gluts, what to do when you've got gluts of veg out there, because obviously it's a time for harvesting now. You might be wondering what on earth to do with all those beans and cucumbers. And Tony, I'm sure, is going to come up with some ideas on those.
Plenty of cucumbers.
Also a little bit on growing flowers on the plot. It's not all veg and fruit. Some of you might like to grow some flowers. And we've been trying out some loppers. It's coming into pruning season as well. If you grow apples and any kind of fruit at all, you'll be interested in loppers, and we've been trying some of those. So to start, got a good feature on blueberries, I think, team, haven't we, in this issue? This is Anne Swithenbank, who anyone who listens to Gardener's Question Time. Anyone who listens to Gardener's Question Time on the radio will know Anne. She's a regular. Well, she's written a feature on blueberries for us.
It's a good feature. It covers everything you need to know about growing blueberries. I mean, I've grown a few blueberry bushes, but I've got a few tips from her on these. Mm. I mean, they're fairly easy to grow. Best to grow in a pot, usually, because they like acidic soil. Most people haven't got that in their gardens, so growing them in a pot is a good idea. I think they're great. I mean, there's nothing like plucking a few ripe blueberries off your bushes when in the summer. Yeah. It's great. Tasty. I think they taste better than when they get them out from the shops.
Yeah, I've got one in a pot, and like you say, they're so easy. I mean, they don't really get any pests or diseases that I've seen yet.
No.
Fairly easy to look after. Mm. Obviously, you've got to keep them watered. You do need sort of ericaceous compost for them, so make sure you get the right sort of compost for the blueberry bush rather than your standard compost.
You have to make sure you don't... you have to cover them just as they're ripening, because the blackbirds like them.
You can
have a good crop, and then the next day they've all disappeared.
That's it. Just as they change colour.
I've seen them pop in there and just pluck them off one by one.
But they look good all year round as well, don't they? Because you get your flowers in the spring, and of course you get the berries, and then in the autumn you've got the nice red leaves.
Yeah, the autumn display of the leaves is something in itself. You know, never mind the berries; they're beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think it's a good idea to grow them. I mean, people grow them in sort of pots that are about 30 centimetres diameter, 1 foot diameter. But I think they're better if you can get them in an even bigger container. I've seen them at the RHS Garden at Wisley, and they've had them in really big sort of troughs there, don't they? Yeah. Big sort of raised beds. And they've grown to their maximum height, so you get a lot more crop.
Yeah, they look completely different than the ones in pots. They're just so much bigger.
And it's better to grow two or three. I mean, I've just got one, but you know, you'll get more berries if you
pollinate, don't they?
Yeah.
Well, Anne's mentioned a few of her favourite varieties here. I know I've grown one that she mentions is Blue Crop. I think that's probably one of the most common ones. That's the one I've been growing. I've had it in the same pot for 5 or 6 years, if not more now, and it's been great. And not any pruning or anything, so really easy to look after, apart from those blackbirds.
I think you only prune out sort of any really old wood, don't you? Any sort of stems that have got very old, 2 or 3 years old.
You just
prune those out and then leave the younger ones to grow.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the first 2 or 3 years you don't have to do anything with them, do you? You just leave them.
I mean, Anne's given a little bit of advice on harvesting and storing and things, but I don't think they ever get that far.
They don't. They've never got as far as the kitchen. I've just eaten them straight off the bush.
Just a few on top of a little cereal in the morning, and that's
Your porridge.
Well, moving on. Another thing I've been doing over the last month is testing a new variety of radishes. Well, it's not really a new variety as such, because if you read the packet, you see there's sort of 3 or 4 varieties that you might have tried before and you know, like Sparkler and Scarlet Globe. But Unwinds are producing them. I've put together a range in a mixture that I've been trying. It's called Unwinds Crunchy Mix. So all just nice varieties of radishes, which, as radishes do, grow very quickly. I think I've been harvesting mine in sort of 6 to 8 weeks during the summer.
They're really pretty, aren't
really
they?
Really colourful, yeah.
You've got a range of colours in there. You've got the yellow, you've got red and white, red, purple.
Absolutely.
Really lovely.
Yeah.
Did you find you got a real mixture of colours, or did you find you got a lot of all red ones or all white ones?
Yeah, there was a lot more red than any of the others. There's a lovely sort of amber-coloured one in there as well, which I'm trying to think of. Oh, yes, it's called Zlata, which I think has been out for a couple of years now, but they put it in this mixture. And I was hoping for a few more of those, but there wasn't quite so many of those.
Did they all taste the same?
More or less, yeah, if I'm honest.
They're all sort of globe ones, were they?
All globe ones, yes, all the same shape. But they were good. The only problem I did have is I sowed these earlier in the year, sort of March, April time, and they were fine. But then I sowed some more in the summer, June, July time, and they just bolted straight away. Mm. So, you know, as with radishes generally, just one top tip there is don't go and sow them when it's really warm. Although you don't always know there's going to be a heat wave, of course. But
don't sow too many at once.
Oh.
As I did this year with the French breakfast, I had a whole row of them, you know.
Well, that's the problem. If you sow too many, one day they're just perfect to pick. The next day they're massive, woody, and hot.
Yeah, they're not so good then, are they? But yeah, they're quite nice. So, there's a little write-up of that in the magazine. You might like to try those. What else have we got this month? Oh, yes. Well, the annual problem of pests and diseases, but we've focused in the September magazine on plant diseases. This feature is written by Pippa Greenwood. Again, a lot of you all know. She's a writer, broadcaster, but she's very well qualified to write on this topic because she used to be the head entomologist for the Royal Horticultural Society some years ago. So she's got her roundup of the worst plant diseases you're likely to come across at this time of year. Not to bring everybody down, but I'm afraid it's a bit of a fact of life.
Well, I was really interested in this, especially potato blight, because this year, first time ever in my life, I got blight on the potatoes, and it was a shock. Just appeared as little brown...
Little brown leaves.
And I looked, I thought, no, surely not. And then within a day, it had spread. And then, you know, what you have to do, obviously, then is just cut back all the foliage, all the horns, and go and burn them or bury them, or well, not bury them, burn them and take them far away.
But, did you lift the potatoes?
No, I left the potatoes in.
Have you had some of them? Yeah. Are they all right?
They've been in 2 weeks and they're okay, though I did lift... couple, and you know, they did show signs of some blight because they went to go a bit mushy, don't they?
And they weren't stalled, really, were they?
No. These were first earlies and second earlies, actually, which had been in a bit too long anyway, but haven't got round to picking them. But it was what I was really worried about was whether it would transfer to the tomatoes that I've got outside, because it's the same family.
Yeah.
And
it does, doesn't it?
Fortunately, it hasn't happened yet, so hopefully it won't. But it's pretty devastating when it happens, because all your hard work, especially if it's the tomatoes, it just would be gone.
There's nothing you can do about it, really, unless you grow some resistant varieties, like the Sapo.
Yeah,
there are more and more resistant ones out now, aren't there? So it's worth looking out for.
Yeah, the ones in bags that I had, you know, maybe 30 yards away, they didn't get it.
Quite unlucky with your earlies, because it's normally the main crops, isn't it, really? You're normally harvesting your earlies.
Yeah, I've mixed, actually. The King Edwards, which are, I think are a main crop, aren't they? They got it first, and then it spread to some of the first earlies and second earlies. It was still
nasty. Yeah, well, I know she mentions canker as well, Pippa, in her feature, and I'm afraid that's my problem this year, because I planted a new apricot tree about 3 years ago, and I've realised it's riddled with canker now, so it's going to have to come out just as it starts to produce apricots, which is a real shame. But there you go. Well, your problem's been more slugs than
slugs. Slugs and snails this year. Don't get me started on slugs and snails. I've lobbed that many over the neighbour's garden fence.
Don't tell everybody.
Yeah, but they keep coming back. Well, they must do. There's just hundreds and hundreds of them.
Yeah.
I've had a disastrous year with a lot of my vegetables been eaten off.
I'm sure it's a familiar.
I mean, I'm determined to keep going, but it's quite demoralising when it happens. Especially when they ate the tops of all my sunflowers. Which was very upsetting, because your sunflowers, Tony, are absolutely amazing this year, aren't they?
Yeah, they didn't, you know, but I've had, you know, and lettuce and things go. Whole bed of lettuce went.
Now, talking of flowers, we've got a great feature on growing flowers among the fennel. Grown flowers in your vegetable patch. There are lots and lots of different flowers you can grow. We've actually concentrated in this issue on the hardy annuals, which can be sown now in autumn and the overwinter, and then will flower next summer. So we've got a feature on those. So we've got all sorts of things we've mentioned. We've got the candy tuft, cornflowers. We've got another one that's really quite good, which a lot of people don't think about, is Phacelia, which is actually a green manure crop. So you can sow this on your veg patch, and actually, when it's only just a few inches high, dig it back straight back into your plot, and it will actually add nutrients and good humus to the soil. But you can let a little patch of it grow on and flower next summer, and it has these wonderful little blue flowers that are actually smothered by bees.
So that's a really good
little flower to grow on your plot, because it'll attract bees to pollinate your crops.
And you've mentioned sweet peas, I can see in this feature, Em.
Brilliant
this year. And we went to Eastern Wall Gardens, didn't we?
We did, yeah.
They've got a fantastic display in their pickery of sweet peas, but I think they're wonderful on a veg patch. I mean, you know, to intersperse your veg with flowers.
You grow them amongst your beans, your climbing beans.
Right. Yeah.
It just encourages lots of pollinators to the crops.
Mm.
And, of course, you can cut them and take them into the house. Lovely scent.
Yeah, they're wonderful, aren't they? And they seem to have kept going. Normally mildew gets to them by this time of year, but I've not noticed any this year.
Probably because it's been such a wet summer or early summer.
Yeah. So you've been doing a cut flower garden, haven't you, Steve?
I have. First time I've actually had a sort of specific area. I normally just stick some in the, you know, with the other bits in ornamental garden and dot them around, and as Em says, you know, perhaps grow a few sweet peas with my beans. But, you know, actually set aside an area this year. It's not very big. It must be about, 15 feet by 10, 12, I suppose. And we've had so many cut flowers this year that we can't cut enough.
What have you grown?
Well, lots that you've got in your feature, really. So we've got calendulas and the sweet peas that you mentioned. Gadishas, some of those. I've even put some kale in, actually, because the purple kale with the orange calendulas looks really great. I haven't actually used those to put in a vase, but I suppose I could have a few kale leaves.
Yeah.
But it's good to eat as well, of course.
You've got cosmos.
Loads of, yes.
I didn't mention cosmos because they're actually kind of half hardy. So actually you do need a little bit of protection in the spring to get to bring those on. But they are brilliant cut flowers.
They just go on and on, don't they, till the first frosts, really.
Yeah.
Lots of great varieties.
Yeah, they keep going and going. And I love the cornflower, the great.
Oh, that's brilliant, isn't it? And there are different colours you can get. It's not just the lovely traditional blue. You can get sort of white with sort of purpley stamens, and you can get the pinky colours.
Yeah.
There's all sorts.
California poppies I love as well. Mm. They close up at nice. They're not going to make proper.
Yeah.
But they just keep reseeding, don't they? They'll come back.
Yeah. Reseeding, a bit of a word of warning there, because I did sow some Nigella last year, and I just can't get rid of them, basically. They're absolutely everywhere. They're coming up in the cracks and crevices in paving. I've got some slate in one part of the garden, and they're all over that. I mean, it looks lovely, but there is a limit as to how much Nigella you want.
Yeah,
so, it's kind of a bit.
Poached egg plant, that's a sweet little flower, isn't it? Limnanthes.
Oh, yes.
It's got, it looks like a poached egg because it's got little yellow flowers with white edges. But that really attracts the hoverflies, which then will feast on your aphids. So that's a great crop to grow, a great flower to grow around the crops.
Yeah.
I mean, you can find room on allotments in any veg plot for a few flowers, can't you? I mean, there's always room.
It just
looks so lovely.
And
it's just a wonderful thing to do.
So try some cut flowers. And lastly, we've got our tried and tested feature on loppers.
Yeah, each month we look at various products, usually have seven of them, and we take them into our garden and we try them out. So this month we've got seven pairs of loppers, which have been great to use, different kinds. Some are ratchets, some are bypass loppers. Really depends on what kind of garden you've got, what you want to prune. There's something for everybody, really. What I do like are the telescopic ones, especially if you've got, to reach up high to cut any branches.
Vertically challenged like me.
You know, rather than standing on ladders or stools precariously, which you shouldn't do. They're great. So our best buy this month was from Wilkinson Sword. They do some very lightweight loppers.
Very sharp. Yeah, particularly for the ladies, it's nice to have a nice light pair of loppers to cut. The ratchet ones are good, I think, because they've got a gearing mechanism which means that when you sort of latch onto a fairly thick branch, you keep sort of opening and closing the handles, and it gradually makes its way through the branch. So you can actually cut a lot thicker stems with those. So I thought they were quite good.
The prices are, vary quite considerably. I mean, the one that you liked, Emma, was the one from Screwfix. It was only £9.99.
Yeah.
They were telescopic.
It was the cheapest one, but they were telescopic. They were light.
Yeah.
I thought they were really good value for money.
I mean, for £9.99, gosh.
You just simply twist the handles and extend them.
Yeah.
And I thought they were very good.
You know, and you can pay up to, £30-40 for them, but most are in the region of £25-30. But, if you've never had a pair of loppers, once you get a pair, you just can't do without them. They're just such a useless tool.
Yeah. For things like cutting, pruning blackcurrants and your fruit trees.
Anything that's just too tough for a pair of secateurs, really, isn't it?
Yeah. Good.
Well, next step up's pruning saw, so we'll have to do those soon, won't we?
Oh, yes, pruning saws,
Yeah. Okay, well, we've got to get back into the garden. No work getting done here, so we better get back out and do some more weeding, I think. I hope you enjoyed the podcast, and if you did, head over to the website www.kitchengarden.co.uk, and thanks very much for listening.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.